Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duties, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Stand by for action. We are about to launch
EDL Radio.
Anything can happen in the next
90 minutes.
No surrender, ever.
Well, there you go. I just love that opening, don't you, ladies and gentlemen? Once again. Anyway, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you might be, to the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the title of the show is English Defence League radio show, feet on the ground, eyes on the stars. And once again, I've got to thank Dave for the great slides for this evening, and of course, a great script, as per usual. So welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. And my wingman for this evening is Dave Agador Milner. Tonight, we will be discussing the latest news from the Islamic Death Cult's ongoing festival of skipping lunch and violent jihad, known as Ramadan. We will also feature topics of interest that challenge some of the closest held canons of the religion of the left. When it comes to news, no cow is sacred. We enjoy our burgers. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail, as that good men do nothing. And of course, that was by the late, great Edmund Burke. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And of course, that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. And without further ado, I'd like to bring in my wingman for this evening. Dave Agnew Milner, good evening, good afternoon. It's good afternoon, isn't it, Dave? And welcome, brother. I hope you are well. I've had a good day.
Yeah, Jeff, I'm doing very well, and hope you're doing well, Ty. In fact, I know you're doing well. And yes, hello to everybody around the world and, of course, off Earth. Yes, we have a wild and woolly show we're going to be talking about. Islam's impact. And we're going to be talking about a few things off Earth. So all of our fans off Earth, get ready, because we're going to be talking about stuff that's that's off of Earth a little bit and kind of upsetting to the left, I think. But before we get into that, Jeff, I believe you had a message you wanted to impart to everyone, and I will step aside and let you begin that, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dave. Once again, a big thank you to you. And, of course, Ken McClinton and other people that sent their prayers out towards my sister, who's been having a pretty hard time. And basically, I've got to give you a big thank you, and I give praise to the Lord as well for listening to the prayers. And as I said, I spoke to my sister today. And ladies and gentlemen, I've got to let you know that she's out of pain now. She's out of pain. They had some work that they had to do to clear some of these issues. And they inflated this balloon in where my sister's stents are. And within a matter of time, the symptoms that she had ceased, and she could once again be out of pain. So once again, thank you all, and God bless you for your prayers. It's really been a hard time. It was a hard time for my sister. I know we were speaking today, but to hear her laughing and joking, thank you, guys, and thank you, Lord, for your prayers. Let me pass it back to you, Dave. Thank you, Dave. I know you've been praying hard as well. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome, Jeff. And of course, we're all very glad to hear that your sister is well. Sue, from myself and from everybody across the pond that's been thinking about you, we pray for your continued health. And as we do for all of our family and for everyone who is affected, not by this Wuhan thing, but just by, just by normal illnesses. None of that has stopped during this lockdown. We did find out today, people in the UK, this may not matter much to you, but in the States, those of us who remember might remember this one, Phyllis George, who was named Miss America from Texas in 1971, and then later went into sports casting, died today of complications from a blood disorder, not related to the Wuhan thing. So, yes, when people depart, we do feel sorry and we do feel sad, and they are missed, whether it's from the Wuhan or not. But we did want to touch on that stuff. Now, folks, we're going to talk a bit obviously about Islam. That's part of the reason this program exists, to tell you guys about the impact of Islam. And first, Jeff, I'm going to go ahead and go through the two petitions that we've been talking about. The first one is, of course, called Deport Omar. And that one had to do with a kind of proto gang, basically three a-holes that had been terrorizing a neighborhood for around 2 years before Tommy Robinson just happened on an attack that they were making, a bioterror attack, in my opinion, that they were making on an elderly couple just out shopping. All right. They were coughing on them and spitting on them and things like this. And this happened when a lot of this Wuhan virus panic first began. So naturally they were worried, and Tommy Robinson saw this and stopped his car and stopped the attack. But in the process, they blackened another elderly lady's eye. All right. It turns out one of them, who had been terrorizing this neighborhood for about 2 years and the police doing nothing about it, was an illegal alien from the Gambia. Okay. And his apprehension and that of his two, of his compadres, who are right now in hiding, sparked Tommy Robinson to put up a petition. All right. And you can reach it through the following link. https://www.tr.news/deportomar and another /deportomar, guys, is one word. And Jeff, if there's anything you want to add about this before we move on to the next one?
Well, no, it's just that it's still ongoing, and we're just going to keep pushing. We'll continue to speak about this until he's been deported, because he's got no place in this country. He's vermin. And, of course, I mean, he was out on bail and simply for firearms charges as well. So I don't know what the police were doing to let someone like him, who's dangerous, a danger to society, let out on the public, to him to go about with a couple of cokeheads and so-called gangster. They think they're gangsters, Dave. That's what they think they are, but they're just mugs. That's what I call them, anybody who does what they do, especially intimidating an old couple like they was. And also, I mean, you know, a lady that intervened because Tommy was sticking up for this couple and having a go at these. But I think I'd have done the same, Dave. I'm sure you couldn't just stand by and watch this go on and not do something to, you know, intercede at what's going on. And that's what Mr. Robinson did. And his children was in the car. It was no that he's going to do that with children, but he was so angered by what he saw that he had to pull them up over it. And, of course, he was viciously assaulted himself. But a lady that intervened, a passerby that intervened, had her eye blacked by, and I think it was by the Omar, the one with the firearms, a vicious thug, basically. And it does seem as there's been a lot of pressure put on this little gang of so-called gangsters that they've actually gone into hiding. I won't go into no details, but they've gone into hiding. Under the public's interest, they decided to take heed and listen to what police say. And of course, Omar, I think possibly he could be banged up, Dave. I'm not quite sure how it's going, but he should only not be banged up, but he should not be in this country. And that is what we're pushing for. So that's all I wanted to talk about. It's a disgusting act, but thank goodness we have got people in our society who stand up against these thugs. And that's what Mr. Tommy Robinson did. And, you know, his car was smashed, the back of his car was smashed. And the good thing about it is that they charged him with the fact of him being assaulted and his car being smashed. So it shows that now and again the law does seem to work intermittently where these people are concerned. But that's just me. But thank you, Dave. I wanted to talk about that as well. Cheers, buddy.
Yeah, Jeff, no worries, man. And I think a lot of it had to do, a lot of the police acceleration on these people had to do with the fact that they pretty much ignored this problem from these three punks for at least 2 years that we know of. This has been put down in previous shows that we've done, guys. And it culminated in Tommy Robinson going to that neighborhood with 100 men to, as you guys, Jeff over there, say, sort out these three punks. And they didn't find them. And as it turned out, one of them was, they believe, hiding in a house. But there were kids in there, and they weren't. And unlike these punks, they weren't going to go and pull this guy out of a house with kids in it. It shows that Tommy Robinson and the lads that he brought with him had some class, unlike these jerks. And this got national news over in the UK. And yeah, it's nice to see the law doing something once in a while, doing the right thing. Now we're going to move on here, Jeff and listeners, to the next one of these. We've been talking about, and this one is called, if you want to go in, you're living in the UK and you want to go and sign this one, okay,
if you haven't signed why haven't you signed it? It needs to be signed. Sorry, Dave.
Go ahead. Well, no, that's all right, man. It's called Release the Home Office's Grooming Gang Review in Full. Now, I'll give you the URL to it. If you live in the UK, this is a good thing to sign. It's https://petition.parliament.uk/petitions/300239. All right, and I'm going to scroll down here and get you guys the exact figures on this, okay? It currently stands at 125,769 signatures, all right? And so far, we've been waiting for 68 days for a debate date, okay? But it looks, again, if you listen to some of our previous shows, it looks as if there is going to be one of those sooner rather than later, possibly because ministers of parliament from both sides of the fence, both Labour, shockingly, and Conservative have come out and said, no, the government needs to explain itself when it comes to this and either release the information as Sajid Javid wanted done, or they need to explain why they don't want to release it. And so there might be a little bit of movement on that. But if you guys live in the UK, as Jeff says, yeah, get up in there and sign it. Jeff, you have anything to say on this one, then?
Well, yes, as I said, Dave, you know, if you haven't been there, and there can't be too many people that haven't been there, but I'm sure there is some people out there listening to this show that haven't been there, please go there and sign it. It needs to be signed. I mean, they were told that they're not going to release it. The government said they're not going to release it at the interest of the public. Well, I'm the public, you're the public. And I'm just speaking out for like many others, you know, well, 17.4 million of us who would speak out on these things. And we want to see what's actually been going on. And they're not, it doesn't matter what they say or do. And you think they can bury these things. I guarantee you, it will come to the surface, no matter how much they try. What are they so worried about, Dave? Are they worried that they're going to be embarrassed about it? Well, they're embarrassed all the time. I feel embarrassed every time I keep seeing people just keep coming willy-nilly into this country, day in, day out. Thousands of them. Why? None of them have been having checks and tests and COVID tests or anything like that, but they're still shipping them in. They're still bringing them into this country. So we want answers. We want to know what you're doing and why you're doing this to this nation, the people. So about time, either put up or shut up. No, don't shut up. We want you to be, as you always say, we want to be transparent. Well, be bloody transparent and open it up for us to see so we can make our own decisions of what needs to be done and what hasn't been done. There's a lot of kids out there who've been damaged by what's gone on, and you, the government, are being totally disregarding those people that have had to suffer these grooming, well, rape jihad mobs going out there and doing that to these kids. Time that they had justice. Time that they were spoken for. Instead of you defending these scumbags who do these absolutely horrific acts on our children. So that's the way I look at it. I hope that I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of you guys out there. You know, it does need to be. We need to know what's going on. We know what's going on. We just need them to tell us. So it would just, because, you know, with what went on in Rotherham all them years ago now, Dave, we knew it was bad, didn't we? Do you remember we used to talk about it, Dave? How bad things are. When it was totally exposed, it even shocked us. Because it's when you put numbers up there, what's actually been going on. And to this day, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to let you know that in Rotherham, it still continues. Sadly, it still continues. And nothing's been done. Same old, same old. You know, and people are really fed up with it. But, Dave, I just want to make that comment about that situation. And Boris or Bobo, you know, the clown's outfit out there. I hope you're listening to what we say, because we are really getting fed up with you not doing your job. Don't forget, you work on our behalf, right? You work on our behalf. and I'm a part of the national interest. I want answers, and stop hiding and dodging what's going on. Because you'll have to, it's going to be exposed one way or the other. Guarantee it's going to come out. So either you put it out as soon as possible, or we will force it out. You won't like that. Because we'll make you feel very uncomfortable. Is that correct, Dave? All right? Yep.
Oh, I think so, Jeff. I think so. I mean, Brexit is great in there. The Johnson administration seems to be determined to bring that off, and that's a good thing. And I think people think it's a good thing over there. So certainly, I think freedom-loving people around the world think it's a good thing. Okay, but you can walk and chew gum at the same time. You can take care of this problem as well as Brexit. It's not going to be a thing, I don't believe. This is just me looking out, looking in. It's not going to be a thing, I think, Jeff, where the people are going to just allow him to do one thing and not expect him to do another and not hold him responsible for not doing another. But that's just my observation.
They're supposed to be walk and chew gum at the same time, Dave. That's what governments are put there. Different things that they should be able to respond. They've got certain parts of the department that can deal with all these things. So it's not that, oh, we've got too much on the plate. It's got nothing to do with that. They're supposed to be the government, and whatever comes along, they're supposed to be able to handle. I'm right, am I right, Dave?
Well, that's what national governments are supposed to be for. They're supposed to be to manage local agencies and regional agencies, whatever they are, and put it all together in some kind of a nationalized policy. But Jeff, this is something that, of course, you and I will continue to cover, and this show will continue to cover it too, because it's an important issue when children are being victimized in the name of an ideology that cloaks itself in religion and bleats, oh, feel sorry for us because Islam is a race. It's not. So getting on with that, Jeff, it's time, I think, to take a look at what has happened recently in this quote-unquote celebration of Ramadan that they have every year, yes. And this is the 24th day of it, and we'll give you guys a thumbnail, and you know, we'd have to do an 8-hour show to give you all of this in, you know, super detail, but we're going to give you some of it. Okay, this is day 24, and just at this point, and yes, Jeff, sadly, the attacks have accelerated. We've got 124 attacks now, with 542 with 542 dead. Now, what I'm going to do is come down here and get a list of attacks, and we're going to try and trace this back to the 14th, the last day that I read about these attacks, okay? And we're gonna just give you guys countries and what happened, basically, okay? On the 14th here, first one's in Afghanistan. Remember, the biggest victims of Mohammedan violence are other Mohammedans, because their ideology makes them so crazed about being right, about their particular flavor of Islam, that they'll go after other Mohammedans. And again, they don't even care if they're men, women, children. They don't care. All right? And the first one happened on the 14th now. This is in Afghanistan. A Fedayeen suicide bomber eliminated 5 civilians, right, on the same day in Iraq. All right, an ISIS attack claims 1 life. Okay, on the same day, again, Afghanistan. A group of armed fundamentalists attacked a government checkpoint and killed 5. Actually, it says attacks. Let's see, just make sure here. Yeah, attack government checkpoints, killing 5. So I'm guessing what they mean is they attacked a government checkpoint and killed 5. All right. Same day, Pakistan. All right. 2 teen girls are honor killed over a video showing them with a boy. And now that's how, and cover your kids' ears, folks. That's how tight-ass these Mohammedans are. They can't they can't do a video, an innocent video with a boy. They were, I'll bet you anything, Jeff, that they were probably maybe just singing and dancing or something like that, or just having some fun. No sex involved or anything like that. But that's how that you want to talk about puritanical. It goes beyond puritanical. It's stupid. Okay, now on the 15th.
You're not supposed to have fun in Islam, are you, Dave? You're not supposed to. You're supposed to be totally committed to this cult of death, aren't you? Go ahead. Sorry, Dave. I just had to jump in just for a second there.
No. That's what the Ayatollah Khomeini said in Iran. He said there is no fun in Islam. So you're absolutely right, Jeff, and it's good to remind people of that. Now, on the 15th, okay, 8 security personnel are killed in a middle-of-the-night attack by the Taliban. Yeah, guys, the Taliban is still out there. Okay, same day, Iraq. A Kurdish civilian is shot outside his home by Islamic State members. So they're still going after the Kurds. Same day, same country. Islamists kill 2 Iraqis with a bomb. And remember, guys, when we're talking about this, not everybody in Arabic countries are Muslims. You have Arabic Jews. Carmel Melamed's people come from Iran. They're Jewish. Okay, you have Arabic Christians. You have Arabic atheists. All right. There's a lot more than just one in the Arabic world. Okay, same day, same country, guys. Okay, radicalized Muslims break into a home and murder a family of 6. That's just too familiar.
Despicable.
Same country.
Despicable.
Yeah, exactly, Jeff. Despicable. On the 16th in Iraq, all right, 2 Iraqis manning a checkpoint are shot to death by Islamic State loyalists. So don't let anybody tell you the Islamic State is gone, guys. All right, now here's one in a non-Islamic country. Yeah, they're starting to do this in these countries too. This one is one of the lockdown countries too, by the way, guys. This happened in India, okay, in Kulgam, okay. A local cop is brutally gunned down by Muslim terrorists. They love to go after police in these areas. On the 16th, in Afghanistan, all right, 3 Afghans are taken down by fundamentalist gunmen. Same day in Afghanistan, the 16th, all right, a group fighting for Sharia attacks local security forces, killing 9. So they got their bag limit that day. Same day, 16th, in Iraq, a 25-year-old man is abducted and murdered by the Islamic State. All right. Now, this
they're
happened.
They're all human lives, isn't it? Sorry, Dave. But they're all human lives. They're all been killed. They're all humans. They all had families. Sorry, Dave. I just got in my mind.
No, Jeff. You're right, and we'll talk about that in just a second because we have one to go. And this one's today, the 17th, in Kabul, Afghanistan. All right. Terrorists open fire on 2 Afghan officers and killed 1. So that's just the latest, guys. That's just the latest in these attacks. And go to thereligionofpeace.com. Not only will you get basically the body count for this Ramadan kill fest that they've got going on, but you'll learn a lot of stuff about Islam, why they do the attacks that they do, why they feel the way that they feel about non-Muslims. Do yourself a favor and have that for study, and also have it for reference, because it's good for both. It's thereligionofpeace.com. Check it out. Jeff, you started making a good comment. Please continue that one.
Well, I was also, what I was thinking is, I just thought about all the numbers of 500 and damage, 540, or maybe a few more than that. All of them was a human being. All of them had families. Well, most of them had families. And all of them didn't deserve to die at the hands of these cultists of death. And the reason why they died at the hands of these cultists of death, because maybe they didn't believe what they believed, or maybe they believed they were Sunni, then the others were Shia, and that's the reason they killed. As you say, sadly, the first victims of Islam is normally the Muslims. And we've always said that, right? You know, it's always the Muslims themselves who suffer greatly at the hands of these cultists of death. And when people are going to realise that this is nothing other than bloodlust, it's bloodlust. They get off on torturing and killing people. And that makes them very sick and dangerous people that needs to be eradicated. Oh, yes, I've gone there. Because they do. They had no place in a civilised world with their behaviour. And they need to be hunted down and dispatched. I don't think I'm saying wrong by saying that, Dave. Well, they want to kill innocent people or people just going about their jobs. Or going in and killing a family for what? Because their faith is different than theirs? But that's just me, and probably might have a bit of kickback for me. But you know what? I don't really care, because it needs to be said, doesn't it, Dave? Because they are evil. Evil, I've said this before, evil personified. Yeah, that's it, Dave. That's
all right, well,
my little bit on it, mate. And I know you've got a few things to say about it as well, mate.
Well, yeah, I mean, now I don't necessarily think that all Mohammedans need to be eradicated, but they
talking about the bloodlust ones, the ones who's killing people left, right, and centre. I think they need to be hunted down and taken out. That's it.
Well, okay. So I'm glad you clarified yourself there, Jeff. I mean, I personally think that Islam just has not matured enough as an ideology to live in peace with the rest of the world. They can't even live in peace with themselves. So I personally have no problem with them being separated out of non-Islamic countries. That's a position that I have held for a long time. And if we had time, I'd go ahead and play a conservative bite that I made in 2016 that makes that clear. But for, you know, we do have other things to talk about here. But no, they do need to mature as an ideology, and when they can get along with the rest of the world, then yeah, we could welcome them back. But for now, yeah, I think this just shows what Islam drives people to. This is the end game for Islam: the killing, the torturing, the kidnapping, the murdering, the burning of people alive.
The 1400 years, it's never changed what it's been doing. The conquest and the vicious assaults and rapes and killings of innocent people. It's been doing it for 1,000-plus years, and it continues. It's never going to come into the light, into the part of the civilised world. It wants to live in the back, in darkness, and scuttle around like little cockroaches, like they are. Because the thing is that their cult doesn't allow them to go forth. Like a lot of faiths, they learn over time is to update their religion as such for the better of humanity. Now this cult of death, because you cannot call this a religion, can you, Dave? By no chance whatsoever, no matter how many people say, well, it is a religion. No, it's not. It's got nothing. It's an ideology. It masquerades as a religion to give it religious status. That's what we've been, how many times have we said this over the years, Dave? That's all it is. It just gives it that. And of course, the governments make excuses for them. You get people that stood when we saw Lee Rigby have been butchered on the streets, said this has nothing to do with Islam. When the guy that had been butchering poor Lee stood there reading the verses from the Quran, to say the reason why he killed him. That's it. And then you have our politicians trying to make excuses. It's got everything to do with Islam. Let's clarify that. It has everything to do with Islam, because they wouldn't have murdered him otherwise, would they, ladies and gentlemen? Dave, I've got on a semi-rant, but I've calmed down. Back to you.
Yeah, and before Jeff jumped in there, just take what I had to say before about the murders and things and add in the torturing to death of animals like dogs and cats. And that is, as Jeff just said, again, the end result of Islam. This is the true Islam, not what you hear Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar over here in the States and to a lesser extent Justin Amash and people like that going on TV and whining about, or Sadiq Khan over in the UK going on TV and whining about. It's not the peaceful religion that they talk about. It is, as Jeff puts it, a death cult. And I just gave you great examples of the end result. This is what happens whenever they settle in another country. So there you go. Now, guys, we're going to shift gears just a little bit because we know that one of the left's favorite things to talk about is, well, what they call global warming, or rather they call it climate change. But about 30 years ago, they were calling it global warming. And of course, the whole planet was going to, you know, just get, you know, hotter and hotter, and the seas were going to rise. We were all going to die. That by now, we should all be underwater, according to them. Okay? Jeff should be underwater. I should be underwater. We should be doing this.
We should all be gone by, well, less than 12 years, isn't it? Is it Thunderbirds? Whatever her name is. Greta, the one that's got a position now on CNN. I can't help but laugh and I think. Oh, I'm sorry, Dave. CNN employed a Dave. Could you imagine it? I think that she's.
Yeah.
Back to you, mate.
Yeah. Well, and if you listen to these people in the 1990s, Jeff and I should be doing this show in scuba gear now. Well, one of the things that they've always ignored when they're telling people that the only way to resolve this is to give left-wing universities, which they're pretty much all left-wing now, scads of money. The only other ways to resolve this is for people to stop using electricity, freeze their butts off in the winter, sweat like pigs in the summer, only have maybe a sleeping tube for their own private space, and otherwise live in a rat warren with 1,000 other people. All right, and eat bugs and stop eating meat. Okay, that's the left solution. Oh, and by the way, particularly if you are of one skin color, you should stop breeding and just die off. Okay, that's their solution. But the one thing they always ignore, guys, is the sun. Now I know that common sense people are saying, well, you should always take that into account. The sun affects our weather. Okay, and it's not climate change that can be affected, blah, 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 by what mankind does. We have very little effect on the earth. Okay, and this is where the left is not going to like it. Okay, I'm going to read a bit of this story here. This comes from the Daily Mail, and it was updated on the 15th. All right, now here's the headline, guys. First of all, I hate this phrase that they use in this headline because we should throw away these Wuhan virus little themes and things as just the moment we possibly can. But I'm going to read this stupid headline anyway. Now the sun has gone into lockdown. That's their start of their headline. Ugh. Anyway, okay. Now, this is the bit that's good. Okay. Reduced activity on the solar surface has sparked fears of a doomsday mini ice age. So, is it time we saw the light? Asks Jane Fryer. All right. Now, this, by the way, guys, if you want to go looking for it, it's by Jane Fryer for the Mail Online. All right. And there's no bullet points. Basically, what this is, it's an opinion piece, and it's talking about how the sun changes. And I know a lot of the lefty global warming freaks like to act like the sun is just one big light bulb up there, and it always puts out the same amount of heat and light and everything, and it never changes. The fact is, guys, it does. There are times when it's brighter and when there's more activity on its surface and things of that nature, and there are times when it slows down a little bit because it is a giant thermonuclear furnace, and it will have points where it does cool down somewhat. It's always cooling down. And eventually, millions of years
from... Is it classed as a dwarf star, the sun, Dave? Am I right or wrong? Classed as a dwarf star, if you're looking from the outside solar system, wouldn't it be classed as a dwarf star of sorts? I'm just thinking loud here.
No, it is a regular G-type star right now, Jeff. There will come a time when it does become a dwarf star, but it is not one now. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, what it does is it intensifies and then it slows down a little bit. And what they're thinking is that it might be slowing down. Okay? And if it does, yes, it will get cooler on the surface of the Earth. We've had many ice ages before. And this could very well be one. But it's not anything to do with what we as humankind have done. This, in my opinion, should completely throw the entire global warming / climate change thing right in the trash can where it belongs. What do you think, Jeff?
I agree 100%. And it's all about a money scam. It always has been and always will be. That's the way I tend to look at it. This is a natural process of, as you say, the sun cooling down a little bit and doing what it would do. This is a natural process. It's got nothing to do with human beings doing whatever they do. That's going to happen. I mean, we haven't done anything to damage the sun, have we? So all these climate change idiots out there, what have we done? What have we done to create the problems on the sun? Climb back under your rocks and try to think of something else up, you know, because you're totally wrong. Just one more thing I'd like to let you know, Dave. We've got a gentleman, or it could be possibly even a lady, that's sitting with us this evening in the chat room and goes on to say, always listening, archive, keep up the good work. So there you go. That's a gentleman or a lady called Sir Tunic, Set Tunic. Okay, Dave, so I'm sure you'd like to say hello and appreciate that little thing he's just shared with us. Back to you, mate.
Yeah, Set Tunic, thank you for joining us. And, guys, if you want to be in the chat here at the English Defense League Radio Show, we podcast live on Thursdays and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. in the U.K. and at 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States. Just go to the Blog Talk Radio website, look at the top center white search box, type in there English Defense League Radio, follow the links, and you'll get to our show page. And you have to be registered with Blog Talk Radio in order to get into the chat room. But if you do, then Jeff will give you a shout out just like he has now. And I really appreciate that our guest today in the chat listens to us in archive. Well, we get most of our listens in archive, which is something that we both appreciate very much. And by the way,
we know we've had these great people that listen to our archive shows and listen to our podcasts. Well, it's what makes it, even though sometimes it might be we might find it a little bit quiet, but we know that time zones are different, don't we, Dave? So, and we do appreciate everybody that, and I hope that you enjoy what myself and Dave present you week in, week out. Back to you, buddy.
And just to let you guys know, we do have repeats of these shows again in about more or less 30-ish minute bites that are a little bit easier to handle. And that's over at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. And the regular show times for that are 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday in the United States, of course. And that's 6 p.m. in the U.K., midnight Eastern in the United States on Saturdays, and that's 5 a.m. on Saturdays in the UK. So, guys, you'll be able to hear a little bit more of that. Plus, you'll be able to hear a few more things on that Unpleasant Black Guy page, little shows I do, segments I do with Kenneth McClinton, who Jeff thanked earlier on the Exceptional Conservative Show. And that happens, you know, when he does his show starting at 9 p.m. Eastern in the United States, 2 a.m. in the U.K. That's at theexceptionalconservativeshow.com. That's on a Thursday when he has me on. And I put those in the Unpleasant Blind Guy page. Can also be heard at Western Free Radio and on SHR Media, of course. So this show gets repeated out a bit, and we do appreciate the podcast listeners. Now, keeping it in space, you guys, this is what I've been wanting to do for a while. You guys have been seeing, who are looking at our show slides, two pictures of a star, okay? And this is one that I've been wanting to do for a while, okay? But we just haven't gotten to it. And given the story that we just did on the sun, the closest of the stars, okay, then we might do one a little bit further out. Now, this one won't affect us for a while, but I'm going to read this headline and read the bullet points off it, then we might discuss it just a little bit. But okay, this one was put out on the 14th of February, on Valentine's Day of this year. Okay, and it's by Brian Morrison for the Mail Online. Okay, now, this is the headline. The star that could be set to explode in devastating supernova 700 light years from Earth. So, guys, if we have an issue with this, it'll be 700 years later. Okay. New images as of February show Betelgeuse, the star Betelgeuse, is dimming and changing shape. Okay. Now, that's weird enough. I'm going to go ahead and read the bullet points off this, guys. Okay. New images of the red supergiant star show a very clear dimming between January of 2019 and December of 2019. Next bullet point. Astronomers say Betelgeuse has dimmed significantly and is currently 36% of its normal brightness. That is a significant difference. That's like two-thirds dimmer, Jeff. Okay, next bullet point. Some researchers suggest this dimming could be suggesting it may be on the brink of going supernova. And the final bullet point, the team behind the new observations say the dimming may be down to plumes of dust blocking our view. So they don't know for sure. Jeff, so what do you think about that, man?
Well, I'm quite concerned about a supernova, because the force of a supernova, I'm sure it would affect us in some way or another. These supernovas are absolutely, the force of it is you can't even comprehend. Can you, Dave? A supernova just exploding like that is, we would definitely feel the effects, even though it's 700 light years away. I'm sure that we would get some feedback from that. I'll pass it back to you, Dave. What do you think, mate? If it does, it could be just, you know, as you said, dust. But it does seem strange the way it's dimmed like that. And this is what happens with a supernova normally occurs. It becomes smaller. The shape of it changes and it gets smaller. And then all of a sudden, it's like an atomic bomb going off, isn't it, Dave? You know, the pressure. And then it just, you know, it explodes, and as you say, possible supernova. And I just hope and pray it's not, because we don't know the implications. Do we, Dave? Do we know what the implications could be?
Well, whatever happens will happen 700 years from now. And you did describe it fairly well with the cases of supernovas that I've heard about. What will happen is a star will collapse in on itself. And that's where you get the dimming, and that's where you get a star, get it growing smaller and smaller. And then it reaches, you described it as an atomic bomb, it reaches a point of critical mass, where its remaining fuel that it has, you know, is just so densely collapsed in on itself that it chain reacts and boom, you get the big explosion. But again, this will be 700 years from now. We'll see, and who knows? Maybe it
is. We personally ourselves won't see it, but our future ancestors possibly might.
Well, they might. They might. And then again, it could just be as they think. It could possibly even be, you know, an errant plume of gas or a dust cloud, or if you watch some of the Marvel movies, you know, that could be Galactus, which that would be even worse than a supernova. So let's hope it's not that. But it recorded this
or took the pictures of the star, Dave? Was it Hubble?
I'd have to see. Jeff, you guys can trace the story back. I gave it to you so that you'll have this. I can take a look in the story itself and see if there is a caption with the picture that will tell us where it was taken from. My guess is that it would be the Hubble, but that, again, is something that you know, you can find out if you go back and look at the story. So, fascinating.
Because it was the pictures that was taken, they were quite, you know, you could see the shape of the star, the way it changed in a matter of months, wasn't it, Dave? So that was something that was a bit unexplainable, really. And this, as you said, could be possibly dust or something like that. We don't know. But thanks, Dave. That's a story that we've been wanting to cover for quite well since February the 14th when we started.
Well, there you go, Jeff. And yeah, you may want to go ahead and call back in and notice that it's a few minutes past your time there. And as
I'm okay at the moment. I've still got about 2 minutes, but yeah, I'm going to do that anyway, Dave. So let me pass it back to you, brother, and I'll be back as ASAP. Thank you, Dave.
All right. Yeah, Jeff will be back, folks, in two shakes of a rocket's tail. Yeah, that's right. Two shakes of a rocket's tail. Now, As he's coming back and he's getting ready to come back, if you guys want to contact us, I know that Jeff is available on Gab and on Telegram and on other places in social media. And you guys can certainly find him around there. And I am available as Dave Milner or Agedor, A-G-G-E-D-O-R, on MeWe, Minds, Spreely, Mumble It, the Tea Party community. I'm UBG Contact on Twitter, and I'm Agedor on Gab. So please contact us, contact me there. And Jeff, welcome back. Just telling people where they can contact me on social media. Where can they contact you on social media, brother?
Hello, the Gab Minds. I'm confused about how many I've got, actually. Most of the ones I'm
both
on there with, you'll come across me as Nighthawk 777 on a lot of them. And I'm on Gab, as I say, definitely Nighthawk 777, if you want to catch up with me. And most of the places that Dave's at, we follow each other around, don't we, Dave? So there you go.
All right, Jeff. Well, I just wanted to let people know where they could get hold of us, and that, you know, your little interregnum there, gave me the opportunity. Now, we're gonna turn this to a little bit of fun here, guys, because God knows we need it. And the first thing we're going to talk about, this story, guys, made me laugh. And before this Wuhan lockdown stuff finishes up, we do need to talk about it. There's a picture of this guy in the slides. And when I read this story, I had to laugh, Jeff, okay? and I thought Bill Weir, who, you know, we sadly lost and greatly miss. I think he would have laughed at this story just because of the absurdity of it. Okay.
He had a great sense of humor. Yes, he would have probably laughed at the story. Definitely.
Yeah. But this one here is by Kate McGreevy for the Mail Online, and this one. This one came out on the 28th of April, all right? And it features Britain's grumpiest landlord, 59. Yeah, age 59. He does kind of look grumpy in his picture, Jeff. As he makes punters pull their own pints, has no TV or Wi-Fi, and has a cat called Hitler. He says the lockdown. That was the first thing that made me laugh my butt off right there. He's so cranky. He's got a cat called Hitler. He says the lockdown is a dream come true because he doesn't have to deal with customers. With customers. So.
He's a stupid man. I mean, customers is your business. What's the matter with him? Can you believe it?
I think I can kind of get the appeal, Jeff, but I'll get there with you after I read the bullet points here out of this story, because it's a good one. Pubs in the UK have been closed for over a month now. Well, it's been way longer than that. Okay. Due to the Wuhan virus epidemic, pandemic. I'm not going to call it the coronavirus. Next bullet point. But for Britain's grumpiest landlord, Steve Cotton, lockdown is a dream come true. The 59-year-old took the reins of the Baltimore Arms in part of Exmoor in Devon, okay, in 2013.
Well, it'd be called the old Gits Pub or something like that, you know? Should I say the miserable grinning rat? Something like that. That's what it should have been called, isn't it, Dave? The miserable grinning rat.
Well, that or like, you know, the geezer's armpit or something like that, right?
No, they should just call it a miserable old bugger.
There you go.
You go. A miserable old bugger. Not tonight, he's a miserable old bugger. He is right now.
Yeah, yeah. I'll read a bit of this, man. Okay, pubs in the UK have been closed.
He's got stardom, now. You know that. We've given him a bit of stardom.
Well, yeah, of course. Well, yeah, but, you know, come on. I mean, the people who run businesses like that, they have a certain appeal. But I'm going to read just a bit of this story here. Okay, pubs in the UK have been closed now due to the Wuhan virus pandemic. But for Britain's grumpiest landlord, lockdown is a dream come true because he doesn't have to deal with customers. Excuse me, guys. Steve Cotton, age 59, took the reins of the Baltimore Arms in a part of Exmoor in Devon back in 2013. As I just read in the stupid things. All right. And Mr. Cotton, who has become known for making punters pull their own pints, revealed that the government ordered to close all pubs, cafes, and restaurants on March the 20th was like music to his ears. All right. And there's some good pictures of him and his kitty. All right. The pub is now totally obsolete, which is fantastic. Having no customers is like a dream come true, he said. When he acquired the Baltimore Arms, Mr. Cotton, who has a ginger cat called Frederick, called Frederick Albert Hitler, spent his evenings drinking alone until eventually people discovered it had reopened. Ah, he added, all my wishes came at once. It is just me and Fred sitting and drinking alone in the pub like it was in the good old days before we somehow started getting customers. It is perfect. So this guy apparently just, you know, just doesn't have a lot of love for customers. But
don't see that any part of personality, does he, either, by the sound of it?
So your views, Jeff.
Not a personality of a wasp.
Yeah, I think I've got a read on this guy. What are your views?
My views, he's just a miserable old bugger. And how's a business supposed to survive when he doesn't want customers? I don't get it. I don't get it. You know, there's a brewery that he's got to keep happy, isn't it? You know what I'm saying, Dave? It's a pub. It's a public house. You know, you're supposed to have customers to make your business thrive. He don't want them. He loves it being locked in by himself with his cat called Hitler. I've never heard anything like it before, Dave. This is very unique. There'd be people flooding in from the United States when we had this lockdown. They'd be coming to see Hitler and the miserable old bugger, wouldn't they? He's become very popular because he's so miserable. People got... That's a wonderful story, I've got to admit.
Well, you know what it reminds me of? There was I was watching some cable TV program over here in the States, and this fellow was in San Francisco. This was before the days when you couldn't take two steps in the city without your shoe squashing in somebody else's poop. All right, there was this popular in Chinatown. There was this popular. I guess you'd almost say tea bar. You would go in there and you would get certain kinds of Chinese herbal tea to basically cure what ails you. You know, a lot of the homeopathic remedies that the Chinese people have come up with, and things of that nature. And a lot of people set store by it, right? But you wouldn't go in there for the friendly atmosphere because, you know, the proprietor of the place, you know, just pours you the tea. And when you try and talk to him, he just says, shut up and drink your tea.
Sounds like something out of Monty Python's, doesn't it, Dave? You know what I mean?
It does.
This is a place where you come to be insulted. How can we insult you today?
That's what I mean, brother. That's what I mean. I think that's the attraction to this guy's pub is that people,
insulted.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I love
his,
it, man.
The way
the
way he acts is so ridiculous that people laugh at him and they'll take the abuse. Just to be there. And then
pour their own pints as well to take the abuse. There's people for you, Dave. It's a strange lot.
There are.
Oh, I love it, mate.
You know, they say there's someone for everyone, Jeff. You know that old saying.
Well, he's got his pussy anyway, isn't he? So, yeah. Oh, dear. I said that, Dave.
Yes, he does. Just like Mrs. Slocum had. That's right. And for you younger people,
I've been naughty tonight, haven't I, mate? Been naughty. If there's any children out there, put your fingers in your ears and take no notice.
No, for
that's what
for
we
the,
tell them, isn't
the,
it, Dave?
Yeah, for the younger people out there, just so that they know what we're talking about. We're talking about an old TV show that came out of the UK years ago, and it made it over here to the United States eventually, called Are You Being Served? And there was an older lady there who had a cat, and she always referred to it as her pussy, and they did some of the best comedic lines you could possibly think of when she was talking about it. Yeah, it was, and you can still find that stuff on YouTube, guys. So, you know, if you want a little bit of fun, you know, a little bit of slightly naughty fun, very slightly naughty, especially compared to what you can get today.
That's what gives it the humour, Dave. That's what we, you know, when we used to make some comments about a pussy, everybody, and I don't know who you are, but you're going to laugh when you hear how she used to be. It was really funny. You've seen them, Dave. And you chuckled, didn't you, mate? It's really funny.
Oh yeah, yeah, and she did it completely deadpan, you know, which was perfect, you know. But yeah, it's on YouTube, guys. In case you want to give yourself a little bit of, you know, as I say, very, very lightly naughty fun. But yeah.
Did you ever see the ones with the robotic things that went wrong all the time? It was hilarious. You know, we had spinning around on the mannequins and all that. Dave, you must have watched some of the series because it was really hilarious, bro.
Oh, I did. I got to say, I almost pooped myself one night because the show was obviously a comedy. It had things like her, of course, you know. It had a cast of characters. It had John Inman in it, and yes, a lot of people today would say that it was homophobically written and everything. But it didn't matter. All that guy had to do was just...
It was humor. Yeah, they should get over it, shouldn't they, Dave? We all had a bit of fun back in them days, didn't we, mate?
Yeah. And I mean, all the guy had to do was just walk across the set, and people would laugh their butts off. And as Jeff said, it was a comedy about people who work in the department store, and they would have a mechanical demonstration... animatrons and things of that nature, and they would always go wrong. And there was one that I can remember specifically, and it was for a set of women's boots. All right, and the product was called Pussy Boots, and it was this mechanical cat, and its eyes lit up, and it you know said Pussy Boots, Pussy Boots.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And its tail would slowly move in the air, right, and It worked out fine. It worked out fine until something happened and it sped up and, you know, it began doing its thing really, really quickly. Its eyes started to flash like it was demonically possessed, and its tail started spinning around
Did
like a helicopter
away from
blade.
Me, Dave, was like, I can't remember. I think they run away.
Well, yeah, they did. Once its tail started spinning around like the rotating wing of a helicopter, the thing started getting smoke coming out of the bottom of its head, and finally ran away from it. So
that's what cracked us up. It was funny. It was what we loved, wasn't it, Dave? You know.
Oh yeah. And it's difficult to explain to people that haven't seen it, but it is good.
It is. I think everybody should go back and look at some of the comedy. The comedy there was the real comedy. The things that me and Dave find extremely funny, and so would you, ladies and gentlemen. I know a lot of you are not part of the old politically correct brigade. You're like us, and there's many, many of you like myself and Dave. I think that's the case, isn't it, Dave?
Well, yeah, exactly. And we're going to go ahead and get to another bit of fun that a guy had. This involves the lockdown here in the United States that happened in Michigan. Governor Whitmer is not making herself very popular with these lockdowns and lockdown orders that she has instituted. And it's now she's extended it just out of spite because she's just a horrible left-wing tyrant.
Correct.
But there was a pilot in Michigan that had enough. All right. And what I'm going to read you here is a story that comes out of Breitbart. And it was done on the second day of May. All right. And we're going to go ahead with this. The headline for it is Michigan pilot gives an FU flyover to Democrat Governor Whitmer. Over the Wuhan virus lockdown, okay, and they say coronavirus lockdown, just in case you guys want to go looking for this, and I've got the picture of it in the slides, and it's brilliant. He's got his flight plan. Of course, the governor's mansion and the Capitol is in Grand Rapids, Michigan. All right, and you can see from the flight plan that you can see where he takes off and where he flies around and does the FU, and he has an arrow pointed right at the governor's mansion, and then he lands. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read this, Jeff. All right. A frustrated Michigan pilot flew an FU pattern over Grand Rapids to spell out his message to Democrat Governor Gretchen Whitmer about her lockdown order. All right, that's the subhead. Ed Frederick, age 45, spent an hour charting out the flight path to give his simple message to Whitmer over her handling of the Wuhan virus, with an arrow pointing directly at the governor's mansion, according to FlightAware. Frederick said he was inspired to take a trip in his propeller plane Friday morning after Whitmer announced she would be extending the state's stay-at-home order through May the 28th. So they're, guys, they're still in their lockdown. And, you know, I'll get into talking about that after Jeff has his say in a moment, okay? It's a power trip, Frederick told the New York Post. The government, no matter Democrats or Republican, always seem like they're trying to do something just to prove they're doing something without weighing the ramifications. Frederick, who lives just outside Grand Rapids, says he is a small business owner along with his sister and thought a shutdown was unnecessary for the entire state considering how most of the cases were clustered around Detroit. And that's good logic. That's been an issue for a lot of people in the rural counties, he added. There are 82 counties, but really only 4 need to be locked down. Frederick's flight came the day after armed protesters stormed the Michigan Capitol building. All right, and you guys can see some pictures of that in the slides. Jeff, your thoughts, brother?
Did you say, I know her name's Whitmore, but is her first name Grouchy Whitmore, or have I got that wrong? Is it Grouchy Whitmore, or is it Gretchen Whitmore? That's just, I was thinking, because she's acting like a grouch, isn't she? A Democratic grouch. So maybe she'd change her name, and then we can put her in the proper perspective. But isn't she up for election come November? Am I right or wrong, Dave?
I haven't researched that, Jeff, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure when she's up for election.
I'm sure she's up for election, and I don't think, if that's the case, I don't think we'll be seeing too much of her after November. There's so much. Well, I hope that that is the case. I'm sure that she's up for election. Hopefully, the people of Michigan say good luck, good riddance, and jog on. But what that guy done, I'd like to know, I'd shake his hand. What a gentleman, eh? I'd figure that, right, let's do this, right. Great story. And, I mean, basically, I look at it this way. This is all political. Because, as you say, there's only 4 states in Michigan that needs to be on lockdown. And so you're talking about a hell of a lot that don't need to be. And she's put them all in lockdown. I mean, this is just, it's just not right. No wonder that she's finding people turning up on her doorstep protesting against it. Because you're putting people out of work. It caused all sorts of implications when the continuous lockdown, when it doesn't need to be that serious lockdown as such. Yeah, shut down. The ones that you got, the cases, yeah, you've got to make sure that that's sorted. But the remainder should be able to go about, or, you know, generally, you know, social distancing, etc., you know, the way that it should be. This is all political. And this is the way I look at it, Dave. It's a political manoeuvre, like a lot of the ones that's doing this all the time. It seems like most of them are the Democrats, Dave. And I'd like to throw it back to you just to see if that is quite the case, because I think it is. And it's all political.
Right, well, I hate to bring party into this, but it is true. Most of them are Democrat, which would equal the Labour Party in the UK, guys, by the way. And this Whitmer individual has appeared on The View, which is this horrible show over here in the United States.
Oh, no wonder.
trying to defend herself, and of course she can't. And her message was, if you're not for locking down the entire state like I want you to, and for my little fascist lockdown rules, then you're a racist. I mean, that's, and Jeff, you know how well that.
But how? Oh. I mean, that. Can't you be prosecuted by calling the people of Michigan racist because they don't want lockdown? She's sure she's breaking a law by speaking that way, isn't she? Or maybe it's the power that she's got that she thinks she can say it and get away with calling everybody a racist that wants to oppose her. That's disgusting, Dave. Disgusting politics.
Well, it's the same thing that goes on in the UK when anyone tells the truth about Islam. They immediately say they're racist. This is the way that she thinks she can shut people up. And, Jeff, you saw how well that racist argument worked when it came to Brexit. 17.4 million people voted for it anyway and voted to leave. And there was more support for it at the first of this year. And there's going to be even more support for it, I think, on, when January the 31st ticks down to zero and it becomes 2021 and the UK is out. You can't keep lying about people, because that's going to make them angry, and that's just going to make them go to the polls, and that's just going to make them vote for somebody else. That's going to energize your opposition. So this is a stupid move on her part, and I just want to say, a well done to that pilot, because there are a lot of people, not only in his own state, but in the United States, that feel that way, and more beginning to feel that these lockdowns didn't need to happen. We just needed to quarantine the sick and get on with our lives. But, Jeff, let me see. All right, man. We have real quick, we've got time for one more. All right. and this one is pretty cool here. You guys, Jeff and I, everybody has their favorite this and that, right? And in my case, in Jeff's case, that's like our favorite sports car. All right. And we had been talking about this just a few days before I came across this story. And this kid's picture, by the way, is in the slides, okay, of the show page. All right. Jeff and I really like Lamborghinis. I mean, yeah. I mean, Lambos to me look like something that did come out, from Beetlejuice or something like that. I mean, they are something else. It's just, they're fast, and they are just slick, beautiful. All right.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, Jeff and I.
Jeff, I've got to say this because I know Dave feels the same. This has always been our dream car. I mean, Dave was wanted one of these since he was a kid, and so did I. We've always loved the shape, the weight, it looks, the style. It just looks so classy, doesn't it, Dave? You know, you can't, like the Rolls Royce of the sports motors, Dave. It just absolutely, it blows me away, and I could talk about it forever because I love it. I love the Lamborghinis. I want one.
Oh yeah, I mean, I mean, we could do like an EDL radio gearhead segment, but we're going to spare you guys that. We're just saying that's our favorite sports car, okay? Now, we've been talking about this. This to me just shows that God is always out there and working. And we've been talking about this only a few days before I came across this story by Sophie Tano for the Mail Online. Okay, this one came out on the 5th of May. And Jeff and I had been talking about this, by the way, just before we came back from vacation, right? Now, here's the headline. I love this. Minor infraction. Five-year-old boy, get this, guys, driving his parents' car, is pulled over on the freeway and tells officers he was heading to California to buy a Lamborghini with $3 in his pocket. I want to know where this dealer is, Jeff. Look at that. It doesn't matter that I can't drive as a blind guy. I mean, I'll get somebody to drive me. You know, I mean, if I can buy a Lambo with $3, I'm there, man. I'll buy a Lambo for me, and I'll buy one for anybody that wants to store it in their garage. Just as long as they'll drive me around in the thing, man. I don't care. All right. Anyway, Jeff, I'm going to read the bullet points here. This is too cool.
It's a wonderful little story, isn't it? But could have been very, very dangerous because he's only a little boy. How old is he, Dave? He's only about 4 or 5, something like that, isn't he?
Yeah, 5 years old. I'm going to go ahead and read the bullet points here, Jeff. Officer noticed an SUV. So he's driving an SUV. Driving erratically and swerving between lanes in Ogden. Okay, so this took place in Utah, guys. The state of Utah in the United States. When he pulled over the car, because the kid actually had the presence of mind to be able to pull the car over, he was shocked to find young boy behind the wheel. The boy had been planning to drive to California to buy a Lamborghini with $3. And the way the story goes, Jeff and listeners, is the boy had asked his mother, he's 5 years old, he had asked his mother for a Lamborghini. Kids got great taste, I gotta say. And his mother said no, she would not buy him a Lamborghini, you know, because, of course, she's not filthy rich. Well, no, because she isn't filthy rich, Jeff, like people who you have to be to buy a Lambo. And so the kid gets in his car, and according to the officer that stopped him, and you know, again, this picture's in the slide, you guys can see this. According to the officer that stopped him, the kid was basically sitting on the edge of the seat so that he could reach the pedals so that he could drive this SUV.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's big for a five-year-old. But I have to say, you know, first of all, obviously, we're very happy that nothing happened to him or anything of that nature. But,
amen.
But you know, I mean, it is still cool that that he had, you know, the kid had the presence of mind not only to drive the car, but also to pull it over when the officer wanted him to pull it over.
What he's going to buy, he's definitely, that kid's going to have a Lamborghini one day. He's got good taste. You know, I just
that
feel
he does,
that,
Jeff.
That dream will come true for that little boy. That's your day.
Yeah, let's hope so. But anyway, Jeff, it's time for us to get in our own Lambos and jet out of here,
yes,
man.
Yes, we've
Everybody,
got
please
to.
Check
yeah,
out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. Yeah, check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. I gave you the show times and everything earlier. I just want to say to the foot soldiers, angels, freedom fighters, everybody out there that's not letting this Wuhan virus slow you down, be prosperous, be healthy, be blessed, and for goodness sake, no surrender. Jeff, let's get it on. Let's do it. Let's go.
Yeah, let's, ladies and gentlemen, get in your Lamborghinis and drive around. Oh, man, Dave's going to have to. Yeah, thank you very much, everybody, and especially Sutanico, who sat with us this evening. Thank you very much. And,
appreciate you. Thank you.
I hope to see you next week. But as I say, you all take care, stay safe. So with that, so I'm going to do no more. I'm going to hand it over to the lads, the players out with. We're going underground. Go on in. Here we go.
Public wants what the public gets, but I don't give up. Society wants. I'm going underground.
there you go. We're down to the last 30 seconds. Once again, I'd like to say, gentlemen, start your engines, as they did at NASCAR. How about that, Dave? NASCAR. And, yeah, I've got 10 seconds. So, yeah, take care, and God bless you all. There you go. We're out of the live section of the show, and we've just gone into the archive for a moment, or really, a moment. So, once again, I've got to thank Dave for the great slides this evening and a great script, as per usual. And to anybody that's been listening here, now, we do really appreciate, you know, now and again we'll see you in the chat room, but we do know that you listen to our archives, and we do appreciate you. And thank you so much. I appreciate that. So anyway, for myself and Dave, this is the English Defence League radio show signing off for this evening. But you know what, guys? We'll be back again this Thursday with lots of stories and different things and a bit of fun as well. So good night. God bless.
Now, extras that help you navigate the new media world.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
From a public locker inside a dilapidated Long Island rail station comes a show designed to piss off liberals using truth, facts, and ridicule. The Lid Radio Show, featuring the conservative voice from the People's Republic of New York. The Lid himself, Jeff Dunitz. Tune in every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com. At Lid Radio, we fight for the truth, justice, and a good kosher T-bone. If you don't listen, Hillary Clinton might sneak into your bedroom in her house coat late at night and blame you for her election loss. It's the Lid Radio Show with Jeff Dunitz.
Hey, are you guys listening? This is Shannon from Right Wave with Shannon and Mike in the AM on SHR Media. I know you've been wondering where we are and what's been going on. Well, folks, that's right, we're back. So please join us 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Thursday on SHR Media, on Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and Spotify, and Facebook Live at 11 a.m. on Right Way with Shannon and Mike in the AM at Facebook. You don't want to miss a minute. We've got lots of guests, lots of segments, and lots of interesting things. And let's face it, there's nowhere for you to go, so you might as well tune in. Again, Right Way with Shannon and Mike in the AM. We're back live on the air on SHR Media. 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Thursday, audio and Facebook Live, audio and video. Yes, we are going to do video. Facebook Live, Right Way with Shannon and Mike in the AM. Hope to see you soon.
Broadcasting behind enemy lines in occupied California, a mere 2 miles from the state capital, the Bloviating Zeppelin's Berserk Bobcat Saloon Radio Show can be heard every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific and 11 p.m. Eastern, only on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com to listen. You can also watch on the SHR Media Facebook page and the SHR Media YouTube channel. No goldfish were abused in the making of this ad.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
It is he that is me, bringing perspective from across the sea. Join me, Jack Alexander, 4 days a week for the Jack Alexander Experiment podcast, as I take a unique outsider's look at the news and issues affecting life and liberty here in the USA. I'll show you what the mainstream media refuses to. Politics, border security, defense, healthcare, travel, nothing is off limits. Catch the Jack Alexander Experiment podcast each Monday to Thursday on Facebook, YouTube, and everywhere good podcasts can be found. Also, check out the website, www.jackalexanderexperiment.com.
Southern Sense is conservative talk with Annie, the radio chick you bellas as host, and C.S. Bennett, co-host. Informative, fun, irreverent, and politically incorrect. You never know where they'll go, but you'll love the journey. Annie is a top conservative host on Top Talk Radio and features some of the finest guests packed with important politicians and newsmakers. Listen every Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific, on the SHR Media Network. Remember, Southern Sense is common sense.
After 6 years covering terror and corruption, the Unpleasant Blind Guy is making a change. I'm Dave Milner. Join me on Spreaker and YouTube through SHR Media and on the Western Free Radio Network as I team up with Jeff Mitchell, host of the English Defense League radio show on blogtalkradio.com. Check show pages for airtimes. It's the Unpleasant Blind Guy
on EDL Radio.
There's
no surrender, ever.
Because truth is not always pleasant.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
It's Your Business Diva here, Melanie Collette. I am inviting you to a front row seat as I discuss some of the most intriguing details of wealth and finance with today's movers and shakers in the world of business. Listen in and discover financial truths on a global, domestic, and household scale. Uncover topics that will impact your wallet today and in the future. Money Talk with Melanie airs Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. East, 2 p.m. West, right here on SHR Media and High Plains Pundit Talk Radio. You can't afford to miss it.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
The dream deferred is real. You've been waiting for the Exceptional Conservative Network, and now it's here. Go to theexceptionalconservativeshow.com. Tune in and get the best in urban conservative talk. Stop dreaming. It's real.
WBN is proud to present the hosts from Sunday Long Live Radio.
Hey lovelies, this is Rhea from Sunday Long Live Radio from the World Broadcasting Network. You'll catch me live every Sunday of the year, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard, 10 a.m. UK for a few hours. I cover a lot of the chat that goes on, as well as covering lesser known stories. Following me at midday is Joss the Boss, the people's poet.
Hi everyone, this is Joss the Boss from the UK. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard or 12 p.m. GMT. I'll be covering news from the red pill side of life with a little bit of humour thrown in for good measure. See you there.
Following Joss is Based Amy, our resident activist.
Hi everyone, this is Based Amy from the UK. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard or 1 o'clock GMT. I'll be covering Q stories among other Patriot news you may want to know about. See you there.
Following Amy is Nan from Ireland.
Hi, this is Nan from Ireland. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio every Sunday of the year, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard, 2 p.m. GMT. I'll be covering the news and joining some dots and looking at the bigger picture. Think how the West is changing, the influence of the UN, the NGOs, the WHO, etc. You know, that kind of thing. See you there.
Following Nan is Bullrock from Canada.
This is Marty, also known as Bullrock from Canada. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard or 3 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. I will be taking a look at news from a more objective and concise point of view, so if you like detail, this is the place to be.
Also joining Bullrock is Ed the Bear from Canada.
Hi everyone, this is Ed the Bear from Canada. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year. We're on the air, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard or 3 p.m. GMT, which also happens to be Zulu time for those of you that are pilots. I'll be taking a look at the current news with Marty with a slightly discerning point of view. So if you like detail, this is the place to be.
airs your lineup for Sunday Long Live Radio, airing on the World Broadcasting Network every Sunday of the year, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard, 10 a.m. UK, 7 p.m. New South Wales. Just type in your browser WBN324 to tune in. We'll see you there.